a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Well, welcome this morning to the Senate Local Government Committee. We would like to once again greet our listeners who are listening online through the Legislative Research Council website. Just a reminder to those of you in the audience, please turn off your cell phones or turn them on vibrate so we don't have any disruptions. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford.
Here.
Unhoff.
Here.
Lederman. Excuse. Nelson.
Here.
Kazin.
Here.
Blaine. Fleckaway.
Here.
Quorum present.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. The chair will now entertain a motion to approve minutes from our previous meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Senator Kazin, second by Senator Unhoff. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, nay. Minutes approved. Just a reminder, anyone who's testifying, you need to sign up on our sign-up sheets on the podium so we know who's testifying this morning. Before we get started, let's have our two pages step up and introduce themselves. Let us know what high school you go to also.
I'm Daisy Bryan, and I go to Jones County High School.
I'm Monica. Who's it all?
Thank you for the work you're doing. With that said, we will now open our hearing for today. We have three bills on the agenda. The first bill up is Senate Bill 66. This is an act to permit the filing of certain documents with the Secretary of State by electronic means and to remove the notary requirements. We will take proponent testimony first. Welcome, Senator Peters.
Good morning, members of the committee. I'm Senator Deb Peters. I represent District 9, which is Hartford, Humboldt, and Hartford, Crooks, and Northeast, Northwest Sioux Falls, and Northeast Sioux Falls. It's soon to be Humboldt with the redistricting plan. With Senate Bill 66, the purpose of this bill, it was actually brought to me by the Secretary of State. The purpose of the bill is to give the Secretary of State's office, their customers, that's us, the option to file corporate documents electronically. This does not mandate electronic submission of these documents. It simply only gives us the option to use it as a means of communication with the Secretary of State's office. This bill is quite lengthy, and the reason for that is because of all the different types of corporations, and you have to change the statute that deals with each independent corporation. This bill removes the requirements of the documents to be notarized and also removes the requirements of a paper copy to be sent to the Secretary of State's office. The third thing that this does is it removes the requirement of both the president and the secretary to sign certain documents because it's not feasible if you electronically submit to have two people sign a document. And also in doing this, it also removes the requirement for the notary signatures that this bill will make the corporate documents more uniform. This isn't unprecedented. In 2005, the legislature passed a similar bill that allows corporate annual reports to be filed online with the Secretary of State's office. And in August of this year, I don't know if any of you filed any corporate documents, but I did, and I tell you what, I thought it was pretty slick to file my corporate annual documents online, put in my information, and done. It was a lot simpler than filling out the form that you've had to fill out in the past. This bill continues to streamline the Secretary of State's office and push them into the 21st century by allowing businesses to file electronically. I do want to reinforce the point that the paper option of filing will always still be available. It just gives the businesses the opportunity to communicate electronically. And with that, I'd pass it off to the next proponent of the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members of the committee.
Thank you, Senator Peters. Any further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jason Gant, Secretary of State. My thanks to Senator Peters for the excellent introduction of what the bill is all about. She covered it very well. I had spoken with a number of you on an earlier version of this bill, and I wanted to point out a change that is not in this bill compared to that one. On page 1, line 8, we talk about a $500 penalty. We had discussions when drafting this bill on whether or not we were going to increase the civil fine. We have not done any changes there. So I wanted to point that out, that the changes for knowingly filing a false document have not changed. I do plan on looking into that over the next year to see what would be our best course of action. But otherwise, as the senator said, the reason it is so big is because there's so many different areas of law with different types of corporations, such as cooperatives, LLCs, LLPs, a number of different areas. We wanted to make sure that we found everything. And I believe that we have. We're very excited to move to the second phase with our open for business platform that we have in the Secretary of State's office. When we went live last August, we were very excited on the responses we were receiving. We've seen an enormous amount of success with corporations and individuals going onto the website to file their annual reports, which has saved considerable amounts of money and time in my office. And I think even better than that is we're saving businesses time and energy and money on their end, so they're not sitting there putting their resources into filling out government forms. They're putting more of their resources back into making their business better and ultimately making South Dakota's economy better. So we're very excited about that. This second phase is going to be wonderful. We've had many, many customers ask, could we please file articles? Could we please create a new corporation online? And we've had to politely tell them the law doesn't allow us to do that. So come July 1, we'll be very excited to tell those customers, yes, you can file online. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 66? Seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 66? Seeing no opponents, the chair will now move to questions of the committee. Do any committee members have questions? Seeing no questions, I'm sorry, I didn't see you there. It's too early, Senator Bradford. You gotta get my attention.
Yes.
Senator Bradford.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wondered why we no longer require a notary, is it?
Do you want to ask the Secretary of State?
I'll respond to just about anything, but Mr. Chairman, Senator, we have over 50 different types of corporate documents that are filed with the office, and right now only 7 of them require a notary. The other 43 do not. Why the notary requirement was there, I don't know. I'm sure it was some sort of, maybe there was a problem back in the 20s or 30s or something with false documents or something along those lines. But with technology today and with the security measures we put in place, we have a number of checks and double checks to make sure that when someone files a document, whether it's a statement of change, an amendment to articles, any of those types of changes, that we notify as many email addresses and people that they put on those forms, so that if someone were to try and go in and change your company, even if they deleted your email and added their own email, our computer system still has your email, and it will let you know that your document has changed. So it gives that double check that if you didn't change it, but a partner changed it or something like that, everyone is going to be aware of the change. So it gives you that information immediately. It's not something where it takes a month or 6 months or the next year to when you find out. It's an instant. When there's a change, you get notified. Yes, sir.
I have a question, Mr. Secretary of State. What percentage of businesses, just give me an estimate, did the electronic filing this year compared to the paper filing? This being the first year they could do that, right?
Yes. The system went live in August. So by the time September was over, when we had those renewals completed, it was near 50% had used the online system. We developed a plan of sending out a postcard that had their information on how to file their annual reports. So keep in mind, in August, we would have sent out the September and renewals. In September, we'd send out the October and so on. But as we keep going with these postcards, we see a huge influx on the day after we mail out those postcards with the website. And we're seeing that 50% continue to increase. Sometimes it's even up to 70%.
Senator Teason.
I had that look in my eye that I had a question. Thank you. Mr. Secretary, I'm thinking through this regarding the notary requirement and the $500 mm-hmm. Dollar fine. And my first thought was that there could be some enormous financial ramifications from falsifying some of these documents. But then my follow-up thought was, I suppose that most of the actions that would accompany the false documents would be prosecutable under other theft statutes. Does that coincide with your thought train on this process?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, yes, it does. We believe that there are a number of other statutes out there that would cover this type of, frankly, it's becoming business identity theft. You know, we've all heard of personal identity theft, but it is possible for business identity theft. And we've been working on that, keeping that in mind, that there are people out there who are trying to steal businesses' identities, get a line of credit, get a credit card, get that information. So we need to be as proactive as we can to try and stop that. I would say that there are enough, from what I've been told and what I've understood, there are enough laws to prosecute someone should they go and try and steal a business identity. Are we far enough? Probably not. We can probably go farther. But when you think about technology, sometimes you think that it's probably going to be less secure. Well, I would venture to say that with this system we have in place, your corporation is actually going to be more secure, because we have the ability to instantly notify you when there's a change. Keep in mind that right now, if someone were to file a paper document that says they're going to create ABC Corporation and whatever, and all the documents are in order, we'll file it and put everything through. Just like on paper, that's what happens. Well, if someone were to change that, that change then would come in on paper, and we would file it and move on. Under this new system, when that change comes in, we're going to notify that corporation that this change has come in. 99.9% of the time, they're going to be like, yeah, we sent that in. Thanks for the update. But that 0.1% could be where, wait a minute, we didn't want that to happen. So they will be notified instantly, where in today's paper realm, they would not know unless they checked or someone noticed it.
Any other questions by committee members? The chair will now close the question portion of this hearing and move to committee action. Senator Holeen. We have a do pass motion on Senate Bill 66 by Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Bradford. Any discussion on your motion, Senator?
No.
Okay. Any other comments on the do pass motion on Senate Bill 66? All right, the motion before us is do pass Senate Bill 66. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Unhoff?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
There are 6 ayes, 1 excused.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a more majority vote of members present, Senate Bill 66 passes.
Chair.
Senator Holeen.
I'll move consent.
Second.
We have a consent motion by Senator Holeen, seconded by Senator Teason. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Senate Bill 66 passes and will be placed on the consent calendar. Our next bill on today's agenda is Senate Bill 67. That is an act to provide provisions that all documents filed with and maintained by the Office of the Secretary of State may be filed electronically. And welcome Senator Krause for proponent testimony.
Thank you, Senator Schleckaway, Mr. Chair. I'm Senator Elizabeth Krause from suburban Rapid City District 33. Senate Bill 67 is to provide provisions that all documents filed with and maintained by the Office of the Secretary of State may be filed electronically. This bill will give the Secretary of State's office and their customers the option to file documents electronically. As you can see, the bill says may and not shall, so this does not mandate electronic submission of documents, but only gives the option to use it as a means of communication. The bill is more specifically aimed at the corporate side of the Secretary of State's office. In 2005, the legislature passed a bill giving the Secretary of State's office the option to file corporate annual reports online. In August of 2011, the first annual reports were filed online, significantly cutting print, mailing, and labor costs. Senate Bill 67 would extend the electronic filing option to all documents filed in the Secretary of State's office, which will decrease costs for taxpayers and businesses who interface with the office, as well as provide for a reduction of costs by automating systems and reducing staff costs for key punching data. In addition, this measure also lends itself to increasing and improving open government efforts and records access. Records that are entered by users online lend themselves to being searchable by the fields in the form versus those records that are simply scanned and placed online. This bill represents a continued maturation of our open records efforts. I do want to reiterate that the paper filing of options will always be available. The paper option of filing will always be available. But Senate Bill 67 would give businesses the opportunity to file electronically. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Krause. Are there any further proponents for Senate Bill 67?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jason Gant, Secretary of State. Senate Bill 67, thank you, Senator, for the introduction, was summarized very well. Some of the areas that this will fall on will help assist the office is a certificate of good standing. If you're a business and you're going to go to a bank and get a loan, one of the first things the bank is going to need is a copy, is a certificate of good standing from the Secretary of State's office. What we want to do is we want to be able to provide that document electronically. Right now, it can take at least a day, maybe 2 days, before that document can get into the hands of the business owner. With the recent news of the post office changes, that could then increase. We want to make sure that when a business is out there trying to get a loan, that they don't have to sit around and wait for government, that they can go out there, they can receive the information online in an instant fashion so that they can be back to business and not dealing with or waiting on the government. With that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would appreciate your support on this bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents for Senate Bill 67? Seeing no further proponents, we'll now move on to opponent testimony for Senate Bill 67. Are there any opponents? Seeing no opponents, the chair will now move on to questions of committee members. Senator Bradford.
Thank you. Senator Secretary Gant, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see, and I'm not a computer whiz, but it says a secure. Is there any website that's really secure? That's just a question.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, no. There's nothing on the internet that is 100% secure. CIA, all your national security, Department of Defense, nothing is 100% secure. What we try and do is make sure our system is as secure as we can make it. We try and model off of banks, healthcare facilities. When people are dealing with your personal money or your personal health records, you want to make sure that's secure. Well, I want to make sure your corporate documents are just as secure. So, no, nothing is 100%, but we strive to be as close to as we can.
Any further questions? Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a question. When it says that all documents may be filed, does that mean that any document that is in the Secretary's office will be converted to an electronic version?
No, it does not. It makes that possible, but no, we're not. Two examples, lobbyists. Those registrations have to come through the office. Well, we have a bill, which probably come to this committee, that will remove the requirement of their notary that their expense reports are notarized. So, like, that type of thing could not fall under this. Campaign finance, the next bill that we're going to talk about, talks about allowing that to be filed electronically. So each of those areas have their own. This is geared more towards the corporate side, where it's the good standing, it's the articles of dissolution, statement of change. There's dozens and dozens of different forms that we have. And then, of course, for all the different corporate areas, it's to allow those forms to be filed electronically.
Just a follow-up.
Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you. So where in this does it refer to that this is just corporate or in this bill to existing? Because I guess my question is, if it's generic, says all. So if I now contact the Secretary of State's office and I want some form that I have to fill out and I want it to be electronic, then who makes that decision in the sense we just passed this?
Chairman, Senator, what... A perfect example is athletic agents. They are required to be filed with my office. I've been in the office just over a year. We've had zero. I wouldn't do something there where I would move that to an electronic fashion because it wouldn't be cost effective. Other major areas of the office, like trademarks or notaries, those types of areas, you can't move them to electronic. But if there was something like a document that didn't require to be notarized that we would want to allow the public to file electronically, it would be that. So if something came up, we could file electronically instead of first having to go to the paper. As far as releasing the information to the public, we will always be able to provide a paper copy. Even all the annual reports and articles of incorporation, if a citizen calls or comes in and says, I would like a copy of ABC Corporation's documents, we'll print it off, charge them $1 a page, and give it to them. Even though we never received anything on paper and everything came in electronically, because we want to make sure that we can still provide that paper document because not everyone is computer savvy.
Any other questions from members of the committee? Seeing no further questions, the chair will now move on to committee discussion and or action. Senator Nelson.
Move do pass.
Second.
We have a do pass motion on Senate Bill 67 by Senator Nelson, seconded by Senator Holeen. Any comments on your motion, Senator Nelson?
No, thank you.
The motion before us, committee members, is do pass on Senate Bill 67. Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
There were 6 ayes, 1 excused.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a majority vote of members present, Senate Bill 67 passes. We have a consent motion by Senator Nelson, seconded by Senator Holeen. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, nay. Senate Bill 67 passes and will be placed on the consent calendar. Our last bill on today's agenda is Senate Bill 70, an act to revise the procedures for filing referred laws, initiated constitutional amendments, and initiated measures, and to revise certain election provisions and campaign finance requirements for referred laws, initiated constitutional amendments, and initiated measures. And we'll begin with proponent testimony. Welcome, Senator Holeen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I first want to apologize for being a couple minutes late. You'd think I'd know to invest in a good windshield scraper by now. but it was a bad ice storm. So anyway, Senate Bill 70 updates and clarifies language relating to the initiative and referendum process in South Dakota. And it does this because current law is confusing and spread among several statutes, which you will hear from further proponent testimony. It also updates and clarifies the formation, filing, and dissolution of ballot question committees. And Senate Bill 70 also allows for the electronic filing of campaign finance statements. I will just say I appreciate your favorable consideration of Senate Bill 70. I will stand by for further questions and pass it off to further proponent testimony. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee.
Any further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 70?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Jason Gant, Secretary of State. I feel like I should have brought donuts or bananas or something. So my sympathies for having to listen to me three times in a row. Senate Bill 70. At first glance, it may seem like, whoa, what are we doing? Are we changing all the laws on our referral process and whatnot? I want to calm those nerves and explain, no, we are not making massive changes to our initiated measure process. What this bill does, this past year in 2011, we had two different statewide ballot question committees. Petition drives. One was referred law, was at 12:30 from your last legislative session. That took off right after the legislative session adjourned. The second one was the 1% sales tax increase, and that took off later that summer. Going through, being the first time to be in charge of those, of that process, we came across a number of different statutes that were just confusing, where it would talk about two of the three different referral processes, then it would talk about one, then it would talk about all three of them. So it got a little bit confusing on which one are we talking about, what rules apply, and after we sat back, after we had gone through the process, we thought, why don't we split these into their own areas? So that's what this bill does. Is it splits everything into their own sections. So you'll notice the first section is talking about a referred law. And so on page 1, line 8 is where it starts. And what we wanted is we wanted to have bullet points so that it was very easy for the public to understand what the process is, what are the required forms, how do we get started on a petition drive. So that's what we've done there. No changes with the exception of where on page 2, line 1, it talks about a statement of organization. And this was the same change we've made with the referred law section, the initiated major section, and the initiated constitutional amendment section. A statement of organization, as all of you know, is a campaign finance form. All of you had to file it after or when you created your political campaign to run for office. I felt that the law was a little bit unclear on when exactly they needed to start to file their paperwork on a ballot question committee. So in our discussions, we felt the best time to do that is when they submit their petitions before circulation to make sure their petition form is correct, that would be the best time for them to file their statement of organization. The second change is on page 2, line 21. This section was new back in, I think it was 2010, where the legislature passed that if you're doing a constitutional amendment or an initiated measure, you have to hand out the Attorney General's explanation to each person who signs the petition. The first time this law was used was in 2011, which was the 1% sales tax increase. So what we had was discussions with those organizers, and they asked our office a lot of questions about what should the form look like, how big does it need to be, what is all the criteria. And we were helpful with them. At the end of the day, if any of you happened to have signed the petition, you would have received it. But essentially it was, they printed up like notepads, and with that glue at the top, and you just rip off each page like that. they printed those, and that's what they gave to all their petition circulators, and then that's what they would rip off and hand to the citizen who signed the petition. What I want to do is I want to require that they get approval by the office before they print up those cards. I do that for two reasons. One, to make sure that what they're handing out is exactly what the Attorney General explanation is. And two, is that I can have a copy of it so I can post it on the website so that the public has access to what this form is that they're supposed to receive when they sign that petition. Perfect example, you're going to the courthouse to pay your taxes, and someone out there says, please sign my petition. You sign the petition, they hand you a note. And you want to make sure, well, why am I getting this note? Well, on my website, there's a clear area where it shows you're receiving this note due to this law, and the note should say this. And it should include all this information. So that's the reason that we put that change in there. The next change was we had two different deadlines for an initiated constitutional amendment and an initiated measure. Currently, it's the first Tuesday in November of the year prior to the general election, and we're changing it to at least 1 year before. Very small change. The example in 2011, initiated measures were due on November 1st, initiated constitutional amendments were due on November 8th. It seems silly that we have two different dates, so we wanted to make that uniform with the Constitution. On page 4, you see where we deleted all the old law, as well as on the top of page 5. On page 5, line 16, this is in our discussions with county auditors that we have over the year. We were talking about ballot questions. I was telling them about this bill. And then they said, well, why do I have to mail that ballot question to the local newspapers when usually my newspaper says just email it to me? I said, well, the law says you have to mail it. So what this change does is it allows the county auditor to send it by email versus by mail. So they have the option. The next part was a continuation on campaign finance. Putting ballot question committees in their own area required us to remove them from the area of political action committees. And then they get added in on the next pages. And the other change, so ballot question committees follow all the same rules, with one change that I wanted to make. On page 7, line 10, right now a ballot question committee has to file a mid-year report, which is due around July 1st. They have to file a pre-general, and then they have to file a year-end. So they have to file three reports. I would like to change that so that they file a pre-primary, a pre-general, and a year-end. They still have to file three reports, but it puts them on the same time frame as political action committees, political parties, and so on. The last part there talks about their ballot question committee. And I do want to point out on page 8, line 6, changing from a class 1 to a class 2 misdemeanor. This was a typo from back when the campaign finance laws were put in place. If you look on page 6, line 8, you'll see where that is a class 2 misdemeanor. So that was just a mistake. Anyway, that's fixed. Also on page 8, line 8, ballot question committees. Right now, they are not required to terminate. And I think that we should require them to terminate. I currently have 15 active ballot question committees that file campaign finance reports. I have one dating back to 1992. Obviously, in 1992, well, I don't even remember what we were probably voting on. It was probably some farm corporate thing or something, but they're still on the books. I believe that by June 30th of the following year, so they have the November general election, 8 months later, it's June 30th, that by then they should have to terminate their account. Ballot question committees are much different than a political action committee or a political party. They are formed for the support or defeat of a particular measure on the ballot. it's not set up to where you have industry folks who continually give money like a PAC. So this would require their termination. The last part is to allow campaign finance forms to be filed electronically. Right now, everything is on paper, and it is only allowed to be on paper. And if we were allowed to file electronically, it will, again, make the process much easier for campaign finance. With that, Mr. Chairman, I will stand by for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponent testimony for Senate Bill 70? Seeing no further proponents, are there any opponents to Senate Bill 70? Seeing no opponents, we will now move on to questions of the committee. Do any committee members have any questions? Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you. Mr. Secretary of State, in this transition, is there anything that is currently on the paper for the sections that you have addressed for campaign finance that the content or the information requested is different in this electronic version or any of the changes that you're purporting?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, no. The new online campaign finance system we put together has additional information that as a candidate you can include, but you cannot put it into the report. So like in the new cash system, I've allowed it where if you wanted to have a list of your vendors, like if you use ABC printing and XYZ graphics to design your stuff and you want to put their contact information in the system, you can do that, but that information does not go onto the final report, nor is it searchable. Just like your checking account number check number doesn't go online, but that information you can put in if you want, but it's only for your references. It's not for the public or on the public report.
Follow up, Senator.
Thank you. How does that individual, the candidate, know what is going to be what you can see and what you cannot see?
Yep. In the online system, everything that has a red asterisk by it is required, and everything that doesn't is not required. And that's the it talks about it at the top of the screen each time. And then the other way that the candidate would know if they missed that part is that when they click to preview their report, it's not on there.
One last question.
Senator.
Thank you. Why are you asking the additional information if you're making it optional? I mean, why are you creating this optional or new information that previously wasn't provided?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, again, a good deed that turns out to be bad. I did it because I remember when I first started with my campaign thinking how it would be nice if I had everything organized together. We designed the system so it could be a living document for your campaign, so it's not something where you only go into it once a year to plug in all the data. It was set up so that you could use this all year long and keep your records and keep your books up to date all year long. But none of it is required. It's all optional.
Any further questions from committee members? Thank you. Seeing no further questions, the chair will now move on to committee discussion and or action. Senator Bradford.
Move do pass.
Second. We have a do pass motion by Senator Bradford on Senate Bill 70, seconded by Senator Holine. Any comments on your motion, Senator? Okay. Any further comments on the do pass motion on Senate Bill 70? Seeing no further comments, Madam Secretary, please call the roll.
Senator Bradford?
Aye.
Hunhoff?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Keeson?
Aye.
Holine?
Aye.
Schleckaway?
Aye.
Six ayes, one excused.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Having received a majority vote of members present, Senate Bill 70 passes.
Mr. Chair, I'll move consent.
We have a consent motion on Senate Bill, 70 by Senator Holine. Do I have a second?
Second.
Seconded by Senator Bradford. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed nay.
No.
Senate Bill 70 will go to the Senate floor. Well, thank you, committee members, for your good work and the folks who testified. Our bill log is pretty steady, so we'll have a good stream of bills to cover next Monday. With that said, the chair will now entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moved by Senator Nelson.
Second.
Seconded by Senator Holeen. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed nay. Meeting adjourned.